Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God, Frank. Hell of an episode. We called it as we reviewed episode 4. There's going to be some action in episode 5. Of course, this is Ozark and Chill. I am Duke, as always, here with Frank. And we got a lot to get to, my man. Should we start? Where should we start?
I say the beginning this time. We can kind of, there's slower beginning building up to a big ending for episode 5. And it was, this is the most notes I've taken. This is probably the, so many things happened. And then we had a big ending. So let's start at the beginning.
I like it. Let's keep them hanging. And as we talked pre-show here, I had a totally different outline. And then the last 15 minutes happened. And so that was kind of the arc of the episode. But it starts basically with Agent Evans, again, confirming what we thought, that he is convinced that Marty had Agent Petty set up to be killed. Yep. Agent Miller is now trying to, you know, get her game plan involved. So we have Evans and Miller going back and forth with their boss of what we're going to do. Ultimately, my Agent Maya Miller wins out and says she can get Marty to cooperate. She just needs time. Agent Evans is all pissed, but Maya gets her way.
Yeah, and it seems like she's maybe a step up on this. Like, she's gotten the okay to be the leader of this, which is probably pretty evident throughout. And whereas is Agent Evans, you said, he's still kind of hung up on the murder, which doesn't seem like we're going to get a conclusion to that. It just shows his ultimate motivation there.
I think that's just a way to get him out of it, right? Because Agent Miller comes back at Agent Evans, says, quite frankly, Agent Petty broke the law. He's providing drugs to a CI. We've already, you know, he's too aggressive. That tact hasn't worked. Let's try something new. And ultimately, she wins out and is allowed to go pursue Marty as an agent for change, if you will. And Marty's back. He looks rejuvenated. I love the new Marty Burke. I don't know about you.
Yeah, down to business. It seems like he comes back. It looks like they have sex. They kind of reignite. And then Marty just seems void of any emotion after that. He doesn't seem to be, acting from an emotional side anymore. It's down to business. Whatever happened to him there, whether he's kind of doing this on purpose or if he's actually changed, either way, he seems to be very serious about the next few steps that he takes, realizing that he has no room for error here, I think.
And we'll certainly get to more of that later. But what are the odds Marty comes back from being held for basically for death, right, by the Mexican cartel? He comes back, has sex with his estranged wife, and that's not even the number one sex scene in the episode, which we'll get to that here in just a little bit. Gross, grosser than the maggots in the bowl. But anyways, we see Ruth. So Marty comes back. They hold a meeting. He thinks everything's fine. Ruth comes back, hugs Marty. You can see some real emotion from Ruth, apologizes. She says she can't run this on her own. And that was just after she saw Ben, who said, it was just a kiss. I thought I was going to die. It didn't mean a whole lot. We find out later they do have another little date. But Ruth still being a little distant from Ben while showing some emotion towards Marty.
Yeah, hiding her vulnerability, of course. That's a protection method for a lot of people that use, you know, me, myself included, where you avoid showing emotions to hide your vulnerabilities. I mean, because that's how people are raised, especially people that kind of grow up in the middle of nowhere and her whole life is just based on staying alive.
Frank, everyone's paying off this therapist, man. If you need to have a word with her too, we can go through some of the things.
Yeah, there you go.
So the meeting itself that they all attend, we have Helen in there. We have Wendy in there. This is Marty, obviously his first meeting back. Ruth comes in. They agree to stop the smurfing. They need someone with lots of money who is going to trust them to lose money, because once they stop the smurfing, they have to have some way to keep those revenues up. So the idea they concoct, have someone with some, you know, a lot of money come in. Don't be afraid to lose that money. They'll pay it back with a little bit of interest. And they find the dope who's willing to agree.
Yeah, and this is the realtor, is that right, from the last season, right? Correct. Which he suspiciously had like all this money from the last season, and Wendy knows him and has used him before and is using him now, you know. This whole thing just seems like a drop in the bucket compared to like how the rest of the episode goes. But obviously a little bit of another avenue where they're paying him back 8% on top of what they're already giving, getting from him. So again, they keep stretching their money thinner and thinner, and that's not 8% ownership, but it sounds like they're giving 8% on top of what he's losing back to them. So yeah, just another way where it's like, where did the Birds end up pocketing their money from? And it seems like by the end of this that they're going to be running themselves into debt and not making any money just to stay alive.
Well, and I mean, we kind of alluded to it here, but Marty seems to be getting with this new attitude further and further into the idea of working with the cartel to the point where he's going to try to flip Agent Miller. Before we even get to that, Wendy gets a call from Navarro. Interesting flashpoint here. Obviously, her husband's just gotten back from being kidnapped by this asshole. And he's talking about charros, Mexican cowboys, right? And he wants to own an American horse farm. And not just any American horse farm, one that he has his eye on. And hey, Wendy, Marty, I know you guys have a lot going on, but drop everything you need to do. You need to be up in Kentucky or somewhere later that afternoon.
He said, in fact, that it was the best or the biggest horse farm in Kentucky.
I believe so. Yep.
And they show up, and that's clearly the case. They go right to the farm, cut a deal with this lady, overpay for this farm, and wants to run a quote-unquote legitimate business out of it. I think the lady brings up the idea of stacking the deck at these races with her studs, and then, you know, pocketing a bunch of money off their semen. Essentially, that's how horse racing business goes, as I'm sure you know. But for those listening that don't know, you know, the main motivation in horse racing is not winning the horse race, but what comes after you win the horse race. Even locally here, you know, I live in Western Pennsylvania, right on the border of Ohio. There's a couple horses around here where everyone kind of trade semen around, and it's kind of crazy interesting business on how you get baby horses. So that's kind of the idea, is that especially so in Kentucky, more so than here, that you know, you can make a lot of money if you kind of just stack the deck of race horses and they win a couple races. You can make a lot of money off of those horses once they retire shortly thereafter.
Yeah, horses are expensive to feed. A lot of money goes into that business, certainly a good business to funnel some money through, but if they can start creating some winners, there's some profit. Of course, the Birds don't really care, right? They need somewhere to put money through. But the previous owner, Ollie Brennan, certainly has some big ideas for studying the horses out and getting some winners, like Frank was saying. But before we even get to that, one interesting line I thought at the end of that conversation between Navarro and Wendy. Navarro says, Marty is just like him. And Wendy says, what does that mean? And Marty wants to win. Obviously, he has this big goal here of flipping the agent. And we see later in the episode how far he's willing to go. But before we get to that, the informant, right? Let's talk about the informant for the FBI. He works for the Kansas City mob, specifically Frank Jr. He's a delivery boy. He's now been caught. For those who forget, back in, I think, episode 2, maybe, when they compromised the other casino boat across from Muddy Ben's or whatever the hell that casino is called. Once again, he makes his reappearance. He shows up at the docks. He's trying to get these underage kids to jump on the boat and drink some beer. And he goes in their house to use the restroom after Charlotte is very suspicious of this guy because he mentions, oh, you're Helen Pierce's daughter. Charlotte's onto this guy, man. Charlotte's on it.
Yeah, I complete opposite of what I thought was going to happen at the beginning of the season. I said that I thought Charlotte was going to be the key to blowing this whole thing up because she knows too much and hates her parents. But it turns out she's on top of this. She immediately gets suspicious and understands, I think, quickly what's going on. And that's, she's much sharper than what we think, right? Like she is on top of this sort of thing. She even later on tries to tell her mom about it, and her mom kind of shoo-shoos it away and doesn't even consider that this person might be in on something, even though Charlotte is clearly thinking about it. The one thing that I think is going to happen, and they foreshadowed it, is that Charlotte is going to have to tell Aaron what's going on, because Aaron is a dumb teenager that doesn't understand what's going on. She hasn't had to grow up the way that Charlotte and Jonah have, understanding that their parents are in with the mob and a cartel. So you're sitting here wondering, you know, Helen had already remarked to Charlotte that if Aaron finds out, there's going to be repercussions. There's a lot of tension between, that we'll talk about here in a little bit, of Helen, Wendy, and Marty now. And I think this is going to be a blow up point, because Charlotte is going to have to tell Aaron to protect Aaron and to protect Charlotte and her family, but also is going to hurt Charlotte's future with Helen, if that could cause a lot of problems, I think.
Well, and a hilarious line here, as Charlotte like you said, Frank, has recognized the potential danger of this scumbag, trying to present it to Wendy. Wendy shoo-shoos it with the line of, Erin has no idea how dangerous her mother is.
Yes.
And or I can't remember if Charlotte said that or if Wendy said that, but, you know, Charlotte clearly is looking at her mother like, you're pretty dangerous too, Mom. Like, what are we doing here? So
And you know, Helen so much more so, I think, considering her in, but there's no doubt in my mind now that Charlotte is going to have to tell Erin.
Erin's a little hoe bag too, man. She just wants that D.
She wants it, but I mean, we were all like 16 once. So.
I'm still a virgin. So I,
you have a child. Day.
I do have a child. All right, guys.
I don't know if you know, but that's not out.
All right. And then we see kind of the first, as crazy as the shit we talked about already, the really crazy thing. Ruth approaches Frank Jr. and says, you know, hey, you can't be loan sharking here any longer. You know, a little bit of a contentious conversation there. And then Frank Jr. decides to respond by kidnapping her. The same scumbag we're talking about who is, you know, trying to pick up 16, 15-year-old Erin to have sex with is now trying to make a delivery, a scheduled delivery, puts Ruth in the back of the truck and drives her off.
Yeah, we're seeing a little feud here. And I'm not so sure that it really is going to be a continual feud between Ruth and basically the mob, the young guys of the mob that they finally gave the informant a name. I don't know if they had mentioned this before, but they called him Tommy. I thought she called him when she met the guy at the truck and they scoop her up and drop her off in the middle of nowhere. I thought that was going to turn into something bigger. It was clearly just to fuck with her. And then she calls Ben to come pick him up. I think all of this is just setting up Ben's impending disaster.
Ben's going to kill Frank Jr.
Out of his love for Ruth, something bad's going to happen either between Frank Jr. and Ben or Tommy or something bad is going to happen there, I think. I think it's just setting Ben up to fail.
I think Ben's going to kill Frank Jr., and this is where the mob comes back and kills Ben, and then we have everyone at each other's throats, and then the cartel might have to get involved, and then they're in the war with the mob. Like, this could be a lot of fun. Well,
and you'll remember that Marty told them that Ruth is off the table. Mm-hmm. So if she's off the table, maybe Ben isn't off the table. So that's a way to get to her as well.
You know, the first thing I thought was she's untouchable and she's kidnapped. And I didn't see any physical damage on her face, but Ben looks at her and sees what looks like either fright or an injury and says, who did it? Let's go right there right now. So she's untouchable, but was touched. Interesting to see how that goes. But we see Darlene is back. She was basically absent from last episode. She's back. We have the trial for the assault. If you remember, she swung on Wendy after she called her fucking hillbilly redneck or something.
Yeah.
And before we get to the trial, we see a weird interaction with Darlene and Wyatt. You know, Darlene's washing Wyatt's hair. You know, comes out in a nice suit. He's going to be the key witness here for this trial.
Yes. And when that happened, I looked at my wife and said, there's some weird sexual thing going on here, isn't there? And I had suspected that prior, but you know, I've written it down a couple of times as we kind of make notes for the podcast. I've written that down a few times that this
really was that you thought Wyatt thing. And Darlene would get together.
Oh yeah, I have it. I could show you a picture of my notes. It's like, no, is this way weird? Is there some sort of sexual relation here? And comes to find out that, you know, they go to the trial. Wyatt defends her, you know, and kind of lays out what happens, tells the truth and some lies. And she wins the trial, and then they have sex, which was exciting. That scene was probably 30 seconds too long, but they have sex, and I was like, well, that came faster than what I thought it would have, you know.
From well, the scene. Considering that's probably why it's first time having sex, I'm guessing he came faster than he was anticipating, too.
But there's a very cult-like feeling to Darlene, you know, her invoking you know, her dead husband and then invoking God and Jesus into a lot of what she's saying. She has this presence among the people that she's around, usually a very small group, and then kind of sexually deviates them. You know, I've studied some cult things. It's very interesting to me, like the study of minds that revolve around this stuff. And she's definitely someone that has like a Jesus type cult leader type approach to other human beings. She's very clever. She's very manipulative. And then, you know, fulfills some weird sexual desires there, which is a very similar thing in cultish sort of things. You hear that about like Scientology and some others where that always ends up being some weird sexual relationship. The problem with the cult and we saw this with her before, is that usually everyone around them dies except for the cult leader. And everyone around her dies, and now she's got Zeke and Wyatt, and I'm just wondering how long before either some or all of them end up finding themselves dead.
Well, and as we mentioned, the birds did lose that case. Darlene does leave with Zeke, and as they're going to embrace, I turned to my wife and was like, they're not going to have sex. Oh, they're definitely kissing. Oh my God, they're going to have sex. So yeah. Pretty disgusting there. And not only that, I feel like that encounter released the demon that was Jacob, you know, maybe that feeling. And she, as she's laying in bed, you know, with her new lover, she says, maternity leave is over. It's time to replant the fields. We see them later on, you know, getting the poppy seeds ready to go. In 4 months, they'll be ready for a harvest.
And it wasn't going to work until she really compromised Wyatt. She wasn't going to get that out of him until she sexually compromises him and makes his emotions go crazy. She doesn't give a shit about him, obviously. Like, you know, she doesn't care about him. Her main goal was just to compromise him emotionally to get him on board with whatever they're doing. Interesting to me, he starts chatting about doing heroin. Oh, I've never done heroin before. My dad had it once and I threw it away, or I had it once and was going to do it and threw it away. She then says, you know, don't have that going on. I think that's some foreshadowing. This kid is clearly messed up, and maybe we'll get into heroin as he works for her, which will create some tension and perhaps some tension with Ruth in her, if Wyatt turns into a junkie in some way. Just speculating there.
We're both thirsty for some death, man, aren't we?
Yeah, we haven't gotten anything. Maybe just everyone's gonna die at the end of
the season. A Departed type ending there to the season.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so it what I'm wondering is why it didn't want Ruth's money, because it's dirty money, and he felt like he could better himself as he squats on a house that's not his in some weird way. But now, that is he gonna start taking this like this drug dealer, drug grower approach now that he doesn't want Ruth's dirty money? It's kind of confusing to me.
I mean, if you're banking on sound logic from a kid who's been raised lifestyle, you know, yeah. Like you said, he's clearly messed up. But to a lighter note, I found it absolutely hilarious that not only is Marty bribing their therapist, now we see Wendy bribing their therapist as they try to use this meteor area to kind of get both of their ways in the same meeting. And by the way, the therapist, God love her, man. She's a hilarious character, and she plays it so well.
Probably the most likable character so far. She's just going to take their money, because that's what we all would do from these psychopaths.
Well, let's get to the psychopath part of it. I mean, obviously the first, oh my God moment was Wyatt banging a, you know, 80-year-old. That was, God bless these actors for doing that. That looked pretty real. But fast forward a bit. So they've now purchased the stable for Navarro. You know, we have a new legitimate business, and then we see Helen pulling up in the, you know, the dun, dun, dun. It's the Jaws music, right? We see that black car pull up. We know someone's about to get eaten by a shark. And then we see a horse on the ground, and not a vet, just some goon basically cutting open. I thought it was its stomach. It turns out they're castrating a horse, the previous owner losing her shit. And then Wendy pulls up, and a lot of words are being thrown back and forth. But ultimately we find out the whole intention of Navarro buying this particular farm stable was his rival gang leader's horse was there, and he was going to castrate this stud.
Yeah, so neuter, I guess. Is the neuter more
popular? Yeah, probably neuter.
They cut the balls off of the horse, which interestingly, from what I've gathered from my wife, that's kind of just how they do it anyway. You just cut the balls off. Yeah. They make up some story to the owner that the horse was sick and they had to cut its balls off, which also makes no sense, because there would be no sickness that would require you probably to neuter a horse. Of course, that was their money flow that cuts off all the cash flow, as we talked about earlier, from the horse racing side, where they were going to win all this money from selling the semen of the horse, which is obviously no longer, it's now impossible to do so. And we find, like you said, we find out that Navarro did it because, you know, his rival gang leader owns this horse at the stable. So the owner finds out what they're really doing and how evil these people are around her, and is kind of in shock. Wendy, of course, has no idea what's going on. And all of a sudden, ever since Marty comes back, we start to see moral Wendy. You know, she's visibly upset about a horse, which makes no sense. She broke into people's houses and messed them all up, and now she's, you know, worried about a horse. She's been involved in however many deaths in the show. And she calls Navarro, gets the number from Helen, which is just very misguided, obviously. And he said something here. I wrote it down. He said something of the sort. You exist for me to use. If I'm at war, you are at war, and I own you. And then something of the sort is, if this starts going badly, you're going to understand exactly what that means, or, you know, something of the sort of that. So Wendy is, as we've seen throughout the season so far, is somehow incredibly confident, and also I think somewhat realizing how incredibly ignorant she is. So it's a very weird mix of her realizing she's in over her head despite her confidence for some reason.
She shows both strength and weakness almost in every single episode. And she's naive, right? Naive when Helen says, not a good idea to call Navarro, and for her to call him up and say, we're partners in this. How did she think that was going to end? I mean, clearly the drug lord who's, you know, basically the wife of the guy laundering his money is not his partner, you know? And so she rightfully got smacked down, and I think maybe had a realization of how violent and how, you know, horribly this could end, in that she maybe needs to find her role in this, slow her role a little bit.
Well, and we began speculating with Marty coming back that this Marty Wendy Navarro alliance was going to be a little bit stronger than the Navarro Helen alliance. But as we've kind of gotten through this episode, Helen keeps claiming ignorance, and it's clearly a lie. She clearly she knew Marty was going to go. She knew about this horse stuff, and she's carrying out with her goons for Navarro. She knows all of this is going on, despite not even going with Marty and Wendy to get the horse farm. It's all very strange, as Helen is kind of like their handler in a way. And then Helen has some handlers that are overwatching her, and she's overwatching them. It's not like she shows up at the Ozarks for fun. She's doing it to overwatch what's going on. And we had speculated that Helen was going to be on the outs, but now it's starting to feel like Wendy's on the outs. So kind of an interesting way, because the only way for Wendy to get back is probably to have some sort of confrontation with Helen that needs to go wrong. Or if something starts to go wrong and Helen starts to overreach, maybe Navarro turns on her as well. But we had speculated that Navarro was ready to can Helen, and now I'm not so sure. I thought she was dead two episodes ago, and here she is.
Yeah, I took the under on 1.5 episodes.
Yeah.
She's as involved as ever, and certainly
there's a much stronger lines there than what we had thought, at least for now.
And I think fully understands the complexity of and the severity of the situation much better than Wendy does as well. So her survival instincts are much better there. But then as we close out the episode, we see Marty greet Agent Miller in her hotel room in a much more casual fashion.
Yes.
Before he gets to that, I guess we're missing a whole flashpoint here. So they're going to try to turn Agent Miller, right? And so Wendy goes to, the Oklahoma businessman's dirty guy, right? The guy who gets all the info and says, we're going to try to turn this person. Give us everything you know. They have a sit-down meeting with Wendy, Helen, and Marty. And Wendy says, this is a terrible idea. Agent Miller's father was a shithead, ruined her life and thousands of other people's lives. She spent her life's work trying to take down people exactly like us. This will never work. Helen's like, that makes sense. And Marty, new Marty, I love new Marty, says, this is good. We can work with this. Asks Helen to dig up some information, someone that she's willing to turn over as a peace offering for Agent Miller. Marty gets his guy, prints out some documents, goes to show Agent Miller exactly what he could do if this deal does go through.
Yeah.
Miller wants no part of it. She says, you're either in or out, commit or don't, do the jail time, and there's no deal. Marty basically keeps his mouth shut. Miller throws the documents back at her. So Marty knows, I have to come at this at a different angle. Hence, he approaches her later that day, it appears, in her hotel room to talk through some things.
Yeah, and in the same scene as we see Helen showing up, we see Marty showing up, and there's some weird parallels there. She's neutering the horse, which is probably some weird parallel to Marty walking in there and talking to Maya with, you know, guard down. Is he neutering himself or she's neutering him? I don't know. There's got to be some weird parallel there that I'm missing. But I'm going to confirm my bias again and just say, like, to one side, Marty's playing the FBI agent, and to the FBI agent, he's playing the other side, and I don't know where we're going here.
Stick to your guns, Frank. I love it.
They purposely don't show us the full conversation of Marty. They just show him leaving kind of with a blank stare on his face. You don't know if he's happy, sad, pissed off, or elated. We don't know, but we do know that they're intentionally kind of blurring the line so that we don't know which side he's actually working for, if he's working for a side at all. But he's trying to show both sides what he can and can't do. It's obviously a bad plan to try to flip an FBI agent in any sense of the imagination, but it's also a bad plan to work for a cartel and then tell the FBI agent that you were kidnapped and sent to a hole in Mexico. So,
yeah, that's the confirmation that we do get. He does admit to being in Mexico with
Navarro. But is that an attempt to flip her, or is it an attempt to admit what's going on?
I think, like you said, it's gain trust, right?
Yeah, and I think at this point, they're intentionally blurring the lines. I think any reasonable person that watched that show and had to pick, you would say that he's leaning towards the FBI, taking that side. But that could change really quickly in the next episode, right?
I think, bit of a sales background that I have in my professional career. It's always good. You know, you get more with honey than with vinegar, right? So he comes in with a peace offering saying, hey, you saved my life with that flagged account. Only you would be smart enough to find this, right? And that's what got me out of there. And then, this is after he tried to gain her trust here with some documents that he could produce if he were to work for. So he's building up that rapport with
her. Yeah, what a weird way to open with, like, thank you for saving my life, because if you hadn't been good at your job, I wouldn't have been able to show how much better I am at my job.
Yep.
What a weird way to kind of open that. But I didn't think that he would end up spilling it that easily, but he does. But again, if you were going to flip an FBI agent, you would have to cue her in on what you're going to flip her to.
Exactly. Right.
You can't just like hint around it. You've got to tell her everything that's going on.
So a little bit left unsaid there. We don't know the end of that conversation. We don't know if Marty's agreed to work, with Agent Miller, or if he's just given her, kind of bits and pieces, little crumbs to let her know what he's in on without fully incriminating himself. But just the association with Navarro, you would think would be enough for her to really dig in deep here and maybe just spark her interest more. I don't know. She's clearly, we saw early in the episode, what she's doing now and chasing down Marty is not what she wants to be doing. She wants to be going after different types of player. Yep. And that's what.
Yeah. And I wonder, I've been wondering this since she walked into his office with the fishbowl. The fishbowl was also in one of the, what I call clues, in that episode. That was episode 2 or 3. I'm wondering if there's a recording device or something like that. Like, that's such a random thing to throw into an episode. Pregnant lady, pregnant FBI agent walks in with a fishbowl with a fish that she names Jeff. I'm wondering if she's trying to record in that office, and perhaps that's why Marty left to go to her place, and maybe he suspects that there's some sort of recording or.
I was waiting for her to pull off her fake belly to show this YouTube.
Yeah, device. Right. Like, she's trying to, like, it does give you a sense of like comfort with someone like that. Whereas, like, if she was, there's a reason why the show makes her pregnant, I guess. And maybe Marty uses that against her in a flipping scenario.
Maybe when she's on maternity leave, she joins the mafia or the mob, or the cartel.
He maybe can promise her millions of dollars for her child, or there has to be a pregnancy angle there somewhere. Or he threatens her child. Maybe. I don't know.
Could be. Also, I looked it up. Castrate to remove the testicles of a male animal. There we go. Okay. Castrate. Okay. Neuter works too, though, I think.
Yeah.
All right. So Wendy, looking like she's maybe on the outs, has lost control of her husband. We do see the return of the video game, which you haven't talked about, Frank. The second Marty gets out of the hole and gets back to civilization, he orders that video game that we saw so prominently in episode 4, has it overnighted to his house, and is so focused on beating this game that, Wendy hints at him several times, you're still playing this video game? And then he calls Jonah in, come watch me beat this video game. So there's got to be something to that too.
Yeah, there's something there. And he says to him, Dad, you can just make it free to play. And he said, well, that would be cheating. Mm-hmm. Which kind of is like the flashback we were talking about. Like, the main takeaway from his flashbacks in the hospital was that the kid was, so-called cheating, because he wasn't any good at the game. He was just dumping money into it. I'm starting to wonder if arcade money laundering is coming.
Or
something. So that just kind of popped in my head now. There has to be a reason for him wanting to pay to play his own video game. And I don't know what that is. Other than maybe he's just going crazy. Maybe they're portraying it as him going crazy. Or he's going to start putting, you know, arcade games are in a way just slot machines. Yeah. So I'm just wondering how they're going to, if they're going to add to that in some way.
Pay to play. It's just like slot machines. It's a continuation of what they're doing. You know, when Marty came back and was having that conversation with Wendy and said, I figured it out. I really thought he was Breaking Bad. Not that he was going to go say, I have to go flip the FBI agent. I thought he was going to say, I figured it out. We just have to be all in. We are the cartel. And so I was a little disappointed that we didn't go that route. He was just basically filling her in on what he's promised Navarro. But I mean, hell of an episode. Wyatt banging a 90-year-old, the poppy seeds getting planted, Ruth getting kidnapped. We didn't talk about, you know, Ben getting 50 pounds of bird seed and putting it all over Frank Jr.
Yeah, a little bit of fan service there, I think.
Kind of hilarious. Yep. So, and then obviously Agent Miller with Marty. We have, what's Wendy going to do? Helen seems like she's very involved. What happens with the stable? We have the previous owner who now realizes what they're doing. Can they keep her quiet? A lot going on for episode 6. Any wild predictions for episode 6 here, Frank?
No, I don't know if we'll see anybody dead. I keep hoping and thinking maybe the most prevalent thing, maybe Ben gets into it with the mob, or the mob goes after Ben. That's the only thing I could see coming up, but I'll still stick to, I don't see Ben making it out alive this season. I don't see Helen making it out, and I don't see Darlene making it out. And maybe now Wyatt is in question, considering, you know, his cult following. You know, I think those four are the most in question for incoming deaths. And now I'm starting to lean towards Wendy and Helen showing off in some way as well.
Damn, there it is.
They did show some tension there at the end when Wendy was kind of looking at Helen and Helen looking back at her from a distance. So
yeah, that was an extended glance. That was a stare, almost like a stare down, if you will. A power struggle between these two alpha females.
There's not going to be room for both of them by the end of the season. So
nope. A lot to get to. Episode 6 coming up. We'll see you guys back for that.